Would you ignore a friend that claimed to be tormented by demons? What kind of impression does two murders and a love lost make? Is an old well just a well, or the portal to hell? Today we test the believability of Bobby Mackey's Music World.
Welcome to Believing the Bizarre,
where we dive into the unknown and the unusual,
and tell you whether or not we find it believable.
Do you remember when we first started, we were like, one day that's going to be in our mind? It's finally there.
I know, we used to have to write that out, although you did forget that that's right, but that was never part of it, per se. Also, to answer your first question from the intro, if you were telling me you were tormented and you were sending me messages, I would post it all over the internet and say, look at this loser.
Oh my god.
I'm just kidding. If you are tormented by demons, that sucks.
That's terrible.
Also, I like the little poetry thing. Is a well, or a portal to hell?
It's because I started teaching English this week.
Okay.
That's why. No, actually,
I spelled does wrong, though.
They didn't know that.
Yeah. Well.
Oh, man. No, I don't know. I didn't do that on purpose. So, Bobby Mackey's Music World is infamous, yes?
I've heard of it, for sure.
I think I've told you about it before.
Our boy, Zach Baggins, went there, right?
They've went there like 6 times.
Yeah, he just goes for the drinks now and the live music.
Yeah, it is a country bar. I think it's still an active country bar, too.
Like live music can play there. And
yeah, actually, when we were still a punk band, I think I told you about this then. I wanted to play there.
That's right. You did. I think that was actually one of the first times I heard about it. And then I watched Ghost Adventures go there. And then a couple of our paranormal podcast buddies did an episode about it. Couple months ago.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it is certainly infamous.
Yes. It's infamous for good reason.
Are you going to tell us why?
I think so.
I hope so.
I actually couldn't find as much as I wanted to about this. It's not that I didn't try, just there wasn't as much as I thought.
Did you call Zach?
He doesn't answer.
He'll get back one day.
Yeah. So we're going to go over two of the reasons why it's haunted and the big possession.
I hope one of them's just like, well, it is. There's ghosts there. What more reason do you need for it to be haunted?
This is another Kentucky story.
Another one?
You know.
Was it Flatwoods? No.
No.
What was Kentucky? Oh, the Hopkinville.
Hopkinville
Goblins.
Yeah.
Now, okay, so what if you hate, a lot of people hate country music.
I don't like it very much.
Let me ask you. Would you rather be a ghost that was stuck in Bobby Mackey's or a ghost that was stuck in the It's a Small World ride?
Well, I think we all know the answer that I would pick.
It's a Small World, really? You could be at Disney the whole time?
I f*** with that song. I don't know.
Like it's your ringtone. It's your first song on your iPod. It's actually the song I played at my wedding.
I would like it if it was my ringtone, actually. That'd be kind of cool.
You would get shot dead the first time somebody called you.
I know. So in 1978, you're going to hate this episode. It is not chronological.
Oh, okay. They never are, so that's okay. I've gotten used to it.
In 1978, after a series of fatal shootings at the Rough and Tumble nightclub, the local authorities were forced to close the establishment. However, shortly after that, it reopened as Bobby Mackey's Music World. And that's how Bobby Mackey got the name, because this is his name.
Who's Bobby Mackey?
He's a country singer who's like, I'm going to open my own music club.
Okay. But it was the Rough and Tusslin'.
Primrose Lounge, I think it was before that.
Okay.
It went through a couple name changes. Or not Primrose Lounge. Primrose Club.
Primrose Club.
Yeah, I don't know. Lounge works better for me.
Like, you'd be more willing to go there if it was lounge than a club.
Yeah, well, in that context.
You weren't over 18, though, in the 70s.
No.
Or 21.
Yeah, right. I think you could drink at 18 back then.
Oh, good for them.
So, like I said, it went through many transformations. It used to be a biker bar. It was a mob spot. And it was before all that, it was a slaughterhouse.
Oh. Like animals. Like, not like a killer. Like, animals.
No, actually, it was a state sanctioned slaughterhouse. The guy got the top. Yeah.
If you're gonna kill people, you can't just be doing it on the streets.
Yeah, you get the property taxes and all the licenses and stuff. No, yeah, it was an animal slaughterhouse.
That's sad.
Well, I mean, for you.
No, you don't think that's sad? If I showed you a video of animals getting slaughtered, you don't think that's sad?
I thought about being a butcher. I mean, it's not like slaughtering them myself. I mean, it's not fun. It's not a fun thing.
Could you kill Apollo and eat him? Your dog.
Oh, I made that joke all the time, dude.
Okay.
No, I probably couldn't do it.
Well, that's why it's haunted.
Apparently, it always has been haunted. There's always been rumors. And apparently, the Limkin River flows north. It doesn't flow south. And because of that, according to Doug Hensley, there has been satanic rituals around this river.
So wait, there's satanic stuff happening around this river that's near Bobby Mackey's in Kentucky?
According to Doug Hensley, yes.
And that is?
We're going to get to it.
Okay. All right. Okay. So, okay, go ahead.
So in 1933, it was the Primrose Club. During Prohibition, it was a place that bootleggers sold alcohol.
So, oh wait, can we imagine for a second that if this was the beginning of the episode and we're starting in the 30s and you're setting it up chronologically, just let me bask in the chronological.
Well, for your sanity, from here on, it does.
Yes. Okay. I survived.
I don't know why I do that. you just have to give.
There must have been a story or a movie you watched at a young age where it was probably like Christopher Nolan or some shit, and it just like you just ate it up, and
it just
like,
influenced me so life, badly.
Yeah, like that's how life goes.
Yeah. Oh, start at the beginning
from
then you
C
go
to A to D, back to A and then B.
Yes.
You know, I think Christopher Nolan does things chronologically. That wasn't a good analogy, but I digress. Go ahead.
So the ghost of Red Masterson was the hitman of the Cleveland Four. It's said that he still haunts this club. The Cleveland Four was a mafia thing. He's still seen in this club, and they call him the cowboy because he's got a cowboy hat on.
Hey, you know, we're like a mafia thing. You know, that's what we're called, the mafia thing gang.
It's out of Cleveland, though. I know.
It's out of Cleveland?
Yeah, they were Cleveland. Like
there were four people in Cleveland. And they're like, hey, we're the Cleveland Four.
I think it was four families in Cleveland.
Oh. Let me try a Cleveland accent. Hey, we're like the Cleveland Four. How was that?
Don't forget about the apples.
Yeah, well, there's no Cleveland. Cleveland Four.
Cleveland Four.
So four people went to Kentucky to go to this river.
Only Red.
Only Red.
Only Red.
Blue, pink, and white stayed back.
Red was sent there to intimidate the owner. However, the owner, he fought back. And he did not kill Red on the street there.
He took him to the slaughterhouse.
No, his club was there. It was the Primrose Club at that point. But they did have like a fight in the street. After that, the Cleveland mob kind of backed off for a while. But eventually they bought out the club.
So they fought like a high noon. They were wearing cowboy hats. And then he came back from Cleveland. He's like, I'm just going to buy you out.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
And he's like, okay.
It wasn't that fast, but yeah. Red's ghost is still said to be there.
But he didn't die there.
No, he didn't die there.
So just the guy that came from Cleveland to buy it is said to haunt.
I think he had a strong like emotional attachment to it.
He just would go up sometimes and hug it. Say, I'm so glad I bought you.
Yes.
After fighting with the owner.
All right. So that's the mafia stuff I want to get into. So now we're going to get into Pearl. You know how I said it was chronological?
Yeah.
I lied. You gave a nod like you already knew it.
So why did you start in the 70s?
Because that's when Bobby's Mackey like was birthed.
Okay.
From that wreckage of the shootout. Okay. So Pearl. She was a 22-year-old pregnant student. She was a music student. She arrived in Ohio, actually on a train, looking for an abortion. She met up with Alonzo Wallings and Scott Jackson in Cincinnati. So like on the very edge of Ohio. Now there are conflicting stories from an accidental death at the hands of a doctor to Jackson being the father of the baby, wanting the baby. And then there's like, it was just cold-hearted murder from Alonzo and Scott.
Who's Scott?
Scott and Alonzo are the guys that picked her up at the train station.
Okay, so Scott and Alonzo, she's coming to Ohio to get an abortion.
Mm-hmm.
And Scott and Alonzo are friends?
Yeah, they're friends.
Okay.
Anyway.
Like the kind of friends that might kill you.
Well, they picked her up at the at the train station.
And they threw her into the Ohio River.
They took her to the other side of the Ohio River, and the authorities think that Pearl was still alive when they started to behead her.
Oh.
In 1896, by Alonzo Wallings and Scott Jackson, according to Doug Hensley. So, according to Doug, the horror author and true crime journalist, Pearl was found in the woods. She was only identified by her custom-made shoes. Her head, on the other hand, was never found. Now, both men were offered life sentences instead of death while at the gallows if they told them where Pearl's head was. They refused.
So then they bought the gallows, and then now they own the gallows, and that's, you know.
No, they were hung.
Oh, okay.
Actually, I think the proper term is hanged.
Yeah, it is, but I don't like it. I like hung better.
I like hung better.
Yeah, they've been hanged. There's just, every now and then you find words like that where you just, I just don't like it. How does that connect to Bobby Mackey's?
I'll tell you. Many people, including Doug, think that her head was dumped down the well.
What well?
The well in the basement of Bobby Mackey's.
Oh, there's a well in Bobby Mackey's.
Yes, there's a well.
If for like, is that what the, like, if you get house water, like if you go to the lounge or the club and you get a water, do they go down to the well? And then what's her name?
Pearl.
She spits it out. And then you get that, like, hold on, let me get some water. And they go down and get a bucket and they fill it. What? Okay. Let me rephrase. What's the purpose of the well?
Now, remember how I mentioned it used to be a slaughterhouse?
Yes.
That is where the blood would be dumped down.
Oh.
So it was a blood pit.
Okay. Wow. Wow. Imagine. Wow. Like, oh, we got a new shipment of cows and let me go empty the blood pit. Is it just like just seep into the ground? Like,
I think it would flood in probably to the river that was close by. It's like right behind Bobby Mackey's.
Oh, so maybe why? Is that the river that's haunted or is that not?
Satanic ritual.
Okay. Well, I'm starting to see dots and connections.
But yeah, the well is pretty pivotal. So I didn't know how to back this up, but I did hear some rumors on the internet. What's his name?
Zach Baggins.
No, that Scott Jackson was a practicing Satanist, and that's why they threw her head down the well for Satan.
I wonder if it worked out for him.
I mean, he got hung. Maybe after?
Yeah, maybe after. He's probably better off now.
I don't know about that.
Unless he asks for super neck strength.
So we're going to move on to Johanna. Not Joanna, Johanna.
Johanna.
Yes. In the 50s, the building where Bobby Mackey's is now was called the Latin Quarter.
The Latin Quarter?
Yeah. And the rumor of Johanna, who was said to wear rose-scented perfume, that's important, she was a dancer at this hall, and the daughter of the nightclub owner. Now, she fell in love with a singer.
That's a mistake. One, falling in love. Two, with a singer? Come on, son.
Now, his name is Robert Randall, who performed in the Latin Quarter. Johanna intended to run off with the young singer, but her father was like, no, you can't do that. It's a singer.
That's the same sentiment. So he cut off her.
He did nothing to her except break her heart. I guess the father had criminal connections, probably to the Cleveland Four. I think that's the guy I'm talking about earlier up top.
He had so the owner had connections to Red?
There was some criminal connections before they decided to buy the bar. So he had his criminal connections, and he had those connections kill the singer.
Robert Randall.
Mm-hmm. Now, when Johanna found out that her father had the singer killed, Robert Randall, she decided to poison her father.
Mm. She gave him some of that good blood well water.
But after she killed her father, she actually took her own life in the basement.
Does it say how she killed her dad?
Poison.
Oh, that's right. So just like a drink then or something.
Yeah, something like that. Her ghost is still said to be seen in the building. Now, Carl, we didn't get to him yet, has apparently found the journal. And in Hemley's book, Doug Hemley, the author, his book, Hell's Gate, Carl goes as far to say that he has had conversations with Johanna.
Like a spiritual, is he like a sensitive, like, ghost hunter or somebody who can, like, a psychic who can speak to the dead?
Well, Carl's my next story.
Okay.
No, Carl was not, like, a professional psychic. Carl, I think, was probably sensitive, though. Carl was the live-in caretaker at the club. So he was the maintenance man, The janitor.
I was gonna say, I think they're just called janitors. No, was... I'm the live-in caretaker.
He was everything, but
my high school had a live-in caretaker. He was always cleaning the bathroom.
Did he live there?
No, that was a joke. They're janitors.
Oh, well, he lived there.
He lived in the blood pit.
No. Well, he lived above it. He lived in the attic.
Okay, well, that's far from the blood pits. That's good.
It's still creepy, though, right? Yeah. Actually, I didn't think about that.
You get a live show at your house every single night that there's live music.
Yeah, well, I don't think you like that too much. In 1978, after the shootout, Bobby Mackey bought this place, right? And Carl comes in. He's 20 years old, and he's looking for a job. He was given that job as a live-in caretaker. He was given the upstairs apartment. Now, soon after Carl moved in, he started to notice strange things in the bar. Bobby told Carl not to talk about it. He was like, I know you're seeing weird stuff. Keep it on the DL. Because, one, I don't believe you. Two, I don't want rumors to get out that this place is haunted.
Dude, he could get a whole new, like, paranormal ghost hunting crowd if he just accepted it.
In the 70s, or late 70s, I think that was pretty weird.
That's true. They're like, wait, it's not UFOs? No, we're not down, man.
However, Carl was soon telling stories of these things, watching him in the dark, the sounds of the bar after they closed. And like I said, Bobby didn't believe in the paranormal. I don't want nobody to know nothing about that.
I don't want nobody to know nothing about that. There's like ghosts, like boo. He's like, nope, not real. You're fake. It's tricks and such.
He also said, here I am, putting everything I got in here. I don't want to be scaring people off before we get started. And Carl did. Carl did not. He didn't tell anybody. He continued to sleep above the bar with a locked door and a shotgun next to the bed.
We all know that shotguns work excellently on ghosts.
Well,
so.
If you're in Supernatural and they have rock salt in them and your super hot brother is next to you.
Does he have a brother?
Carl does not. Oh no, he's screwed.
Coral.
Yeah, he also had to cut out the baby from his mom in a prison cell.
Yes.
Okay, so years later, we're going to do like a cut two. So years later, after living in the haunted bar, he once again told Bobby about the supernatural happenings. Bobby, like before, refused to listen, but Janet, the barmaid, did. She did listen. Now, Janet remembered feeling all the things that Carl was talking about. She was even attacked herself in the building. She was grabbed by her wrist, and she was forced down a flight of stairs. Janet even got to the point where she refused to enter the building. And she was not the only staff member to witness supernatural events. They would all see apparitions like Johanna or Pearl or the cowboy, and they were all hearing voices. And they all had the sensation of being followed.
You know she could get another job, right?
Like, Janet?
She's like, all right, I still want to get paid, but I'm not stepping foot in this bar.
It's pretty rural. There's not a lot of job opportunities.
When they saw Pearl, did they see her with, like, a headless person, I wonder? That was her, right?
Yeah, Pearl was a headless person. But they had her, I think they saw her, like a pregnant girl.
Like, right before she got her head cut.
Yeah, like in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
So, when the previously mentioned Doug Hensley began hanging around the bar in 1989, things started to escalate. Now, he was friends with Bobby, right? And they were chatting at the bar, and Bobby started to tell Doug some of the things that Carl was telling him. So Doug then went straight to the source, and after Bobby gave his blessing, Carl started to talk.
So Carl kept asking, or kept talking about it, and Bobby's like, shut up. And then Doug comes in, and he's like, all right, Carl, come on now, tell him about what you've been seeing.
And Carl's like, yeah, here you go.
It's about time. Yes. Let me pull out my journal. It's like massive, like...
Oh, I know. It's crazy though, right? So... Carl's been oppressed for years at this point by whatever. So Carl told Doug about how through his 10 plus years working at the bar, he explored the basement, and under the wooden floor was the well. To Bobby, it was nothing but an old pipe. But to Carl, it was the portal to hell. And that portal to hell was in Bobby Mackey's. Carl was convinced there was not just ghosts of the dead there, but also the damned that had never been on Earth. Demons. Doug wrote a book about what Carl told him, and because of the time it was published, it caught on fire, because satanic panic happened.
So it didn't literally catch on fire.
No, it didn't literally catch on fire. It was really popular.
You're talking about the early 90s and late 80s, mm-hmm. when it was like... Because I actually just watched a movie about this with Hermione, Emma Watson. Yeah, it was called Regression, because it was talking about regression therapy and how it was making people believe things that they didn't actually experience, mm-hmm. and how that was tied into satanic cults.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Carl's attention from the other world only increased, and Carl was talking to himself, and he said the demons were attacking him while he slept. Carl even went through an exorcism in 1993, which is on YouTube, and there are three parts, and it's, for some reason, the demon has my name.
Charlie?
Yeah.
Mother Chucker?
Yeah. And I was watching it last night with Stephanie, and she's like, I don't like listening to this. It's like it's telling you to leave. I'm like, I'm not a demon, and also, I mean, yeah, kind of. It's weird.
Did you leave?
After? No, I kept listening to it. I listened to the things while I was researching, and
you're like 10 seconds, and it's like, Charlie, you must leave. You're like, fine, I'm out.
And it, yeah, it's weird. It's like, that's my name. Why is it going by my name?
Because he knows that I've got something in me that's greater than him, and I've got something in me that's greater than you, Charlie. You understand that?
Carl knew he was in trouble.
He was successful on YouTube. All right, you're still possessed, but we got those clicks.
Yeah, right. But he could not leave. He said he became friends with his employers, and he felt obligated to stay at the establishment until he could figure a way to rid the place of evil that lurked inside.
Oh, my God. He's like, I can't sleep. I'm being terrorized. I had an exorcism, but, you know, drinks are half off. So, you know, it's that top shelf.
What he didn't know, and what Carl didn't know, was that the evil was inside himself. That's what he said.
The evil within.
Yeah.
Good game.
In 2005, they started doing ghost tours. Bobby signed off on everything, on like ghost hunting.
See, now he's getting it. It took him like 30 years, but now he's like, maybe I can make a profit off this paranormal stuff.
I said he signed off on all that stuff because money.
Yeah, well, yeah, a couple people might die, a couple people might, you know, get harassed and stuff, but getting that paper.
Carl was never really rid of the things that tortured him, though. He kind of lived with that until he died, and he lived until 2012.
And he was there the whole time. Like, he never left?
Yeah, he never left. He stayed in the apartment above the place the whole time.
Then why does he believe it was with him? If he didn't leave, you know what I mean? It wasn't like if he left and he was still dealing with it, then I feel like you could discuss this being an attachment. But if he never left, why would he think it was him or in him?
Listen, man, I don't know. I think at some point he got all addled up, all, like, kind of messed up.
It just seems like not changing your scenario or lifestyle, and you know what I mean, like, it's, if you put yourself in that situation, you don't change it, nothing's going to change. So I don't see what basis he's making that claim off of.
I don't know.
You get what I'm saying
though, yeah, right? I get it. Yeah, okay. He never changed anything. He just kind of stayed up there. I think he was used to it at some point. But that's my story. That's Bobby's Mackey's Music World. Those are like the big hauntings and the possession of Carl.
So what did he do that made them want to exorcise him?
Well, he talked to himself a lot. He wasn't sleeping. He was like scratching at himself. But on that note, let's go discuss this.
So do you think he was actually possessed, or do you think he was just... Now, I consider dealing with your situation differently than being possessed. Like, when we talk about Annalise, like, she was eating bugs, you know, she was throwing people around. That feels like possession. This seems like Carl is dealing with his situation. It still feels external to me.
I think Carl's possession was much lighter.
It was possessed light. Yeah. It was the free version.
I think he was more oppressed than possessed, because there are stages of possession.
He was possessed of the second kind, and Annalise was possessed of the fourth kind.
So there's I think it's infestation, which I think they had with the well, and then there's oppression, and then there's possession. I think it was more of a secondary kind of possession, so like oppression. So I think it wasn't as intense as Annalise's, because Annalise's was just like, I think, like the epitome of possession.
See, I guess the way I think about it is, when somebody's, in my mind, when somebody's possessed, they have zero control. And no matter what you do, you're kind of stuck with that. His situation, I feel like he could have just left.
I feel like I think you're right. He could have left.
Yeah. And I'm not saying that if he left, things would have got better. I'm just saying, unless he did, which he didn't, there's no way of knowing.
That's true. I think.
Sorry, I keep cutting.
No, it's okay. I have two reasons why I think he didn't leave. One, he felt tied to the bar, tied to his friends, tied to it. And two, I think he's still getting paid. I really do.
I was just imagining Bobby Mackey and be like, hey, he's like, Carl's like spinning on the ceiling, and Bobby's like, hey, when you're done, you missed a spot behind the counter. He's like, all right, boss. He's like vomiting all over his, like, his body's getting spun on the ceiling.
And Bobby's like, what you do in your own room is up to you. Yeah, that's what I think. I think if he was really possessed, which I don't know, I think that's why he didn't leave. So, I mean, so those are, like, the big hauntings and, like, Carl, like we talked about. So, Johanna killed herself in the basement, which is crazy. She killed her father.
Right.
And her boyfriend was killed.
A lot of death.
Yeah, there's a lot of death around this establishment. And it seems, do you think that well really is a portal to hell? If you ask Nick Goff, the dude from Ghost Adventures, and he's got his own show now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. His dumbass, he slept over it.
Over the well?
In a hammock, yeah.
Wow. No. It feels like, well, the head was the biggest thing, right? Like, obviously, the slaughterhouse had to do with it, but none of the other paranormal stories had to do with, like, death there, like, besides, her name in the head, right?
Johanna Pearl? Died in the basement, so it was by it.
How did she die again?
She killed herself. I didn't say how.
It's interesting because, like, once Bobby realized that it was a positive financial decision.
Yeah, he leaned into it.
He's like, oh, I guess. And man, could you imagine for like 15 or 10 years, however long it was, that he's like, don't talk about it. And all of a sudden he's like, all right, go ahead.
Yeah.
Like 10, 15 years. How long was it?
It was 11.
11 years of just pent up.
Voices in his bed while he's sleeping. God, can you imagine the stuff he saw? It was real?
He could not have been paid that. You know what? Maybe that's proof that he was possessed, that he chose not to leave. Like, if he literally felt like he couldn't leave.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
That was like The Conjuring. Like, I think when the mom couldn't leave, like, she was getting physically injured when she tried leaving.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm trying to remember the Ghost Adventures, like, what they witnessed.
The big thing was they brought an obelisk to the well and had it talk over the well, and it said some pretty intelligent stuff that was creepy.
Drinks are half off on Fridays.
Yeah. Anyway, do you think it's real?
The whole thing?
Yeah, I guess. Do you believe there's any kind of haunting
now,
at Bobby Mackey's?
There's a lot of negative energy, obviously a lot of deaths over the years, the slaughterhouse, the fighting. Now, how did Red...
Red tried to get the bar from Johanna's dad.
And he did. He bought it.
He didn't. The mob did.
The mob bought it.
Yeah.
But Red didn't, like, die there or anything.
No.
So, Johanna, Pearl, Carl. Did Carl die in there, or did he...
I don't know where he died.
Yeah.
It's 2012. I'm not sure.
He had a funeral ceremony in the well. They just, like, dumped him in there.
Although, I'm pretty sure...
they dumped his ashes in it. Better than It's a Small World.
I'm pretty sure I think he did die in his apartment.
Which was at Bobby Mackey's.
Yeah.
Is Bobby Mackey still around?
Oh, yeah.
The owner's still there?
Yeah, he is.
Oh, good for him. He's probably making a ton of money.
Yeah, well.
I'm going skeptical.
Yeah? I think that's fair. I really do. I mean, I haven't been there. I've witnessed it.
That's not to say that it couldn't be haunted. I mean, there's a lot of stuff there. Obviously, history there. The whole portal to hell thing feels a little overblown.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's a little dramatic, but I mean, any place could theoretically be haunted, you know, given the right information and in your own personal experiences. And I will say, it is interesting that he didn't want Carl to talk about it. But then again, once he found out it was, because naturally that's like, oh, well, maybe they're not just trying to profit off it. But then once he realized he could, he's like, yeah, talk it up. Get that writer in here and talk to him about it.
Yeah.
Don't leave out any details.
Exactly. I thought this place was way more haunted. I've known about this place forever. I was like, I'll pick one I know a lot about. I couldn't find that many stories. Like I said at the top, there wasn't that much. So I feel like I want to go with at least viable for like my whole life.
Life just won't be the same if Bobby Mackey's is skeptical.
I think I'm skeptical at best. Like I didn't get a lot of evidence.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I go with too.
Two skepticals?
Yeah. So that was Bobby Mackey's Music World. Ultimately, kind of disappointing for me because, like I said, I lived at this for like years. I was like, oh, it's like this super haunted place. It's like super close to me and I want to go visit there. But I mean, I kind of felt like a little bit like a letdown for myself.
Yeah. Well, It happens. You know, that's life. You grow up, Santa Claus isn't real, Bobby Mackey's isn't super haunted.
Oh, well.
As far as we know.
I mean, yeah. I mean, as if anyone's been there.
I'm sure a lot of people have been there, right?
Probably. Be a cool story.
Yeah. And, you know, we still should go sometime.
Yeah, definitely we should.
Maybe we'll have our own experience.
Maybe. Oh, maybe that'd be fun.
I would have been cool to play a show there back in the day.
Yeah, but I don't think they do punk. No. I think they just do country. So we have to do, like, an acoustic country set.
Dave Matthews?
Sure. Yeah.
So, thank you, everybody, for listening. Remember, if you are enjoying the show, and if you haven't done it yet, hit us up with a 5-star review. It helps a lot. And also, we like to see what you all have to say about it, because learning is growing, I think.
Yeah, we just got a really nice review that was really nice.
It was really nice, and we appreciate it. And we'll shout you guys out. If you leave us a review, we'll put it in our Instagram stories. And we appreciate it. It means a lot to us.
And if you are enjoying the show, like Tyler said already, and you want to wear a shirt that has some stuff from us on it, or even a mask, or like a mug. I actually just had coffee out of our mug this weekend.
Oh, did you?
I did.
Nice.
And I was like, yes, I will dive into this unknown. And I took a sip.
Was it tasty?
It was actually better than coffee had ever been.
In your entire life?
Yeah, I was like, that's bizarre. And then Stephanie punched me in the face.
If you want that experience, head to believingthebizarre.com and hit up our merch tab and pick up something cool.
Yeah.
So thank you for listening. And as always, I'm Tyler.
And I'm Charlie.
And catch us next week on Believing the Bizarre.
A podcast as bizarre as you are.